Heavenly Father, as we journey with your Son Jesus through this time when he spent 40 days there in the wilderness, enduring things we have to endure, thank you that we can learn from him, and thank you that through your Spirit you give us the strength we need to daily serve and follow you. So Lord, as we look at your word now, we pray that you will speak to us and encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Sorry, Phil, that's probably my different version of the message that Terry read from there. But anyway, if you've got a Bible and you want to turn to the NIV version, then please do that, and you'll be able to follow what I'm going to say in the next few minutes as we look at this second theme, as I mentioned it the earlier, a simple journey. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, if you can't read that, says the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Jesus was that in the desert before his Father. Last week, Ruth introduced the idea of journeying through the wilderness with Jesus through Lent. And that's what we're going to do. And wilderness worship might look different to other kinds of worship, which is why we're encouraged just to try different things during this very short course. Some worship involves singing, hymns, songs, some involve guitars, organs, choirs, or props, people to make things happen. But wilderness worship is quite different to all of that, and it's very good to contemplate after hearing today's reading and Jesus' love for us, exactly what we expect when we come to worship, what we expect to get out of worship, but what we come to give to our Father God. One of the most impressive things in the 88 years of John Wesley's life, his long life, in fact, was when he was taken with his very last illness. He returned from a friend's house where he'd preached his last sermon, and the words were, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found," in Isaiah 55. His friends carried him up to his rooms, adjoining the city chapel where he'd preached. And realizing as he did that his end was near, that his meeting of his Maker and Lord was not far off, that very aged saint, as he was at that time, desired all his friends to leave him, just for half an hour by himself. And they were obedient to his desire, to his request. And they all went out and they left him. And there, apparently, John recorded, he met with his God alone. He reviewed the incidents of his long life and he prepared for his death and to meet his Maker. The first thing that we notice about this passage, and there are three things I'm going to draw your attention to, is indeed this: solitude. That's what John wanted at that moment in time, as his life was just ebbing away before he stood before his Lord that day. And the first thing we notice about Jesus is that he walked away from the crowds. Sometimes we forget that. He walked away from the crowds and often spent time alone. And in that passage, which you may have open in front of you, which Terry read from the message, we read he spent 40 days and nights. We know the story so well, don't we? In this very lonely place. Luke also tells of another time, and we can read it here, where the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I wasn't going to say this, but I said after we came back from my sabbatical in 2012, they took us to a cave just to the north of Galilee seashore called Eremos, a little cave which they think maybe, just maybe, where Jesus just took himself off far enough away to be alone. And to sit in there was quite a privilege, and to think that just maybe our Lord sat there to find peace with his Father. Now, we might have different responses to solitude. Some of us will be maybe apprehensive, if not scared, of spending time alone. We know maybe you're sitting there, you may be an extrovert, somebody who enjoys lots of company, maybe even enjoying going down to Ipswich, who knows at this moment in time, enjoying people's company and feeding off the affirmation that they may give you if that's your kind of personality. The affirmation of friends, family, co-workers maybe. Others of us may think this sounds like a great idea. Finally, a bit of privacy, a bit of peace and quiet. There's no right response, whichever you might feel is you. One of the great recent Christian writers was Henri Nouwen, and he wrote in a book about the desert fathers and mothers. They were a group of Christians who, from the fourth, round about the fourth, fifth century, who revived the idea of desert spirituality at a time when the church was increasingly becoming institutionalized. Henri Nouwen warns us against seeing solitude as simply as a quiet place to recharge our batteries and then go on with life as usual. And he writes these words. I'm going to put them on the screen in a minute, but I want to read them to you. He says, "Solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, it is the place of conversion, a place where the old self dies and the new self is born." He says, "In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding." I like that. "No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, to entertain, no books, no music, nothing to distract." He concludes, "We enter into solitude, first of all, to meet our Lord and to be with Him and Him alone." There you are, you can read it if you like as I continue. For me, the bit in that really struck was, I get rid of my scaffolding. I wonder how many of us put up scaffolding in our lives. And sometimes we need to deconstruct that, says he to himself, and maybe you might feel the same. Something as you read those words might jump out at you. You see, the main reason Jesus sought solitude was to be with his heavenly Father. How can we today choose to cut into our oh-so-busy schedules and demanding relationships? How can you? How can we? Is it, and this is a question for you and me, is it possible to spend some moments each week with no agenda, but to be with God? Diz hinted at it in what he shared earlier. Try to find some time before the day starts to be with God. Can we do that? Can I do that? How can we see a time alone as a place of transformation, maybe, where we are changed to relate on our front lines in the world out there in a new and, dare I say, more godly way? And I'm speaking to myself there. Solitude, something worth thinking about. The first of our three headings today, thinking of why Jesus found it important. The second of our headings is simplicity, which links in with our theme today, a simple journey. The Canadians, apparently the story goes, wanted to find a writing implement that could be used in space. It took 200 engineers, and they spent apparently over $2 billion to invent a space pen. This pen could write in zero gravity, and the ink would still flow. Amazing. And the Canadians proudly announced their success, and congratulations flowed in from all over the world. In a short note to the Canadians, NASA congratulated them, but said that they too had found a solution at a fraction of the cost. They remarked, We use a pencil. Think about it for a moment. Simplicity. The second thing we notice about Jesus is how he rejects unnecessary baggage. Just think about your life as I think about mine in the stillness at this moment. What unnecessary baggage are we carrying? We read in that reading, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Jesus, you see, knows it's oh so easy to gain the world and yet lose your soul. Luke 9, verse 25. So here he rebukes the enemy and he gets on with his simplicity and solitude. Just think when you switched your switch your telly on to later today, or maybe when you did tomorrow, or you will do as you did yesterday, or you will do tomorrow. How many of the adverts on the television screen that surround us every day are about gaining the world? Or achieving more authority and splendor? How often are we tempted, and I use that word advisedly, tempted to buy more clothes, upgrade to a much more with it and better gadget, or invest in a bigger car, maybe? Whatever it is, how often are we tempted to do that? Jesus, as Luke 9 tells us, was a homeless man. His only possessions seemed to be one set of clothes. We don't know, I'm guessing. John 19 hints at that. When he sent out the 72, if you remember, or if you want to turn to Luke 10, he tells them, do not take a purse or bag or sandals, verse 4 of chapter 10. Now, it's not wrong for us to have homes. Clothes, thankfully, as I sit here looking round us here in church today, phew, it's not wrong for us to have homes, clothes, possessions, whatever it may be. But Jesus' example just maybe cause us to question whether I need as many things as the adverts tell us that we do to survive. You see, wilderness worship may ask us to consider whether we rely too much on things. Even, dare I say, good things, instead of trusting in God. Maybe walking away from our warm homes, I was going to say warm church, but I'll say warm homes, and taking a prayer hike, say, through the woods, just may help you to see God afresh. When the weather gets warmer, you'll be able to use the spiritual garden. And thank you to Philip for putting a new cross, because Dizzy's wonderful cross had split. And so Philip's put a new cross as we wander around, just even in the garden, which is kept so beautifully here in church. A walk through the park, a prayer hike, whatever it may be. Maybe, perhaps, put your smartphone away for a day. Shock, horror. And as I get rid of it, I said, put it away for a day. It just might give you a new perspective on life and faith. Maybe turning off the radio or the music, sitting silently in God's presence. That just might be a form of simple wilderness worship that will restore your soul more than you or I could realize. And so we've had solitude, we've had simplicity. I bet you thought it's going to be an S. It's not, it's an F, it's fasting on the screen there. It leads us to one of the most obvious things about Jesus' time out there in the desert, in the wilderness. The fact that he fasted, we're led to believe, from food. I guess he drank, because he wouldn't have survived without water. He fasted from this directly. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. As you look at those words, notice that the devil doesn't say to Jesus, you must be hungry, even though we gather that Jesus is feeling the effects of his 40-day fast. He goes right to the heart of the matter. If you are the Son of God, if, asking that question in weakness, if you are the Son of God. You see, fasting is not about showing people how spiritual we are. Just look at the scriptures for warnings about that. Or maybe even, if the right word is, guilting God into answering our prayers. No, that's not what it's for at all. It comes down to the basis of our identity, your identity and mine. Who we are, or perhaps more importantly, whose we are. Just think on that for a moment. Whose are you this morning as you sit there in worship? It reminds us that more than food, all our lives are sustained by the Word of God, by Jesus, the Word with a capital W. The Word spoken to create us and in whom all things hold together, Paul in Colossians 1. So Jesus responds using the words, God's Word, from Deuteronomy 8 that we read last week. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, as we think of fasting, literal fasting from food continued through the time of Jesus and into the early church and even to today. Different forms, the Daniel fast, other forms of fast, what other people may do during Lent, giving up something. It may be that during this Lenten season, you've chosen to give up, I don't know, some meal times. And to spend that time when you would have been eating, just being in solitude, quietness, in prayer with God. If you've never tried it, I'd encourage you to start small and gradually build up. Give it a go. Not as a fad, but as an instrument to help you to draw closer to Jesus. But there are other types of different fasting in the scriptures. For example, in Isaiah 58 verse 6, it talks about a fast where people choose to put injustice right. Paul hints in 1 Corinthians 7, he describes a fast where married couples refrain from physical intimacy for a time in order to focus on praying. Fasting involves so many different things. Just those two things, though, show us that we can fast in other ways other than food. Please don't rush out and find a desert for 40 days, just drink water. As I said, take things slowly, build up to that. Or maybe not to that, but you know what I mean. Perhaps the question is, what would be the thing that you most rely on? As you sit there, just think about that for a moment. What's the thing that you most rely on? Where is it that you are in danger of getting your identity from instead of God, instead of your Father? Is it your social media account? Is it the kind of clothes you wear? Eating at particular restaurants? Or could you fast in a positive way, like in Isaiah 58 I just mentioned, by maybe helping a homeless person on the street, befriending a lonely person at school gates, or maybe standing up for a mistreated person at work? That's a fast in a positive way, doing something different compared to what you may normally do. Solitude, simplicity, and fasting. Quite hard-hitting things, really, as we sit here and think about them. We're going to be thinking, as I mentioned earlier, when we gather around tables, those of us who can stay, to think about loneliness, mental well-being, homelessness, and just what maybe we could do, a couple of things we could do to help in those situations. We won't be able to do it all, but there'll be sitting around tables to help us to think about what we can do differently, or what maybe we can give up to do something differently. So think on solitude, think on simplicity, and think on fasting. And I think if I was to lay a question before myself and before us all, is the one I mentioned just a few moments ago. What is the thing we most rely on in our lives? And I'm speaking to myself here as much as to all of us. Where is your identity? Where does your identity come from other than your Heavenly Father? Jesus saw the importance of solitude, of simplicity, and of fasting. And just maybe we need to find space to follow in the footsteps of our Master Jesus. Just a few moments of quiet as we sit. Just stillness. And there'll be a few moments of quiet in just a moment. Let's just reflect as you maybe look at that picture of an actor there facing the desert. Maybe Jesus, imagine yourself walking with him in the stillness and ask yourself that question. Maybe what do we, so each one of us, maybe need to give up to readjust in our lives as we seek to follow Jesus in solitude, in simplicity, and yes, in fasting of some kind. A moment of still reflection.